Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, July 19th, 2015. Pastor Paul Tolberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. A reminder of Easter Sunday's sermon, which I'm sure you all know by heart. Maybe not, but it's a reminder that every day, particularly Sunday, is a reminder of God's great, great gift of Jesus being alive again. We're at Romans chapter 12. The first 11 chapters have been talking about God's love, God's love, God's love, God's love, God's incredible love, God's great love, his awesome love. It still goes way back to eternity. It's just amazing love. And then finally, starting in chapter 12, not even the first verses is down there, verse 10, is brotherly love, human love. I wonder why God does that. Anyway, here's our text. It's from Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 9. And children, this particular one is for the children's devotion. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. I now invite the children to come up here for a brief children's devotion with these delicious apples that I bought last night. They're really good apples, too. Get this out of the way here. See these apples? Aren't they cool? They're good apples. You like the apples? You like the apples? You like the apples? Here, have an apple. Okay? Hang on to that for me. Have this apple. Hang on to that for me. Okay, don't eat it right now. Okay. Now, you need to know something. That if I want you to benefit from these apples, to enjoy these apples, what do I do? What do I do if I want you to enjoy those apples? I give them to you. And what about those apples? Are the good apples or bruised and bad? They're good. Yeah. And if you feel these, are they hot or cold? They're cold, which means that when you bite into them, it's going to be crispy. Juicy. Oh, well, hang on to this one for me. So you're going to have some nice, juicy, delicious ones. Oh, this one's got a little bruise on it. Not too bad. So I want to let you know something, that if I don't like somebody, but I want you to think I like everybody, I would do something like this. Now, these guys are going in confirmation class, so I'm really glad they're up here because they will help me. I'm going to give them an apple. It's the biggest one here. I'll give it to Josiah right here. Hang on. I know. Yeah. First of all, when you get it, I want you to tell them if it's hot or cold. Cold, okay? Then I want you to tell them if it has a little sticker on it. Okay. What does the sticker tell you? It's from the store, right, okay? So now I'm going to give it to him, and I'm going to ask him not to say anything, but to use your face to tell me what you're thinking. Did you see that? He looked at me, and he smirked, and he went, what's he telling me? He doesn't want it. He'd like to change it for something else. How about this one? This has a little bruise on it. Is that okay? That's okay. This is a big red one. He tried to take it from you. Well, all right. What you don't know is that this one is fake. Okay, it looks real. It was cool like the real one. It was big. It was shiny, just like all of yours. But guess what? That one's real. I'm going to pass that back to you. This one's real. This one's real. Are you sure? Yeah. Okay. This one's real. Hang on to it. Don't drop it. What happens is there's plenty here. I want to take them all the way back there, okay? I want to let you know something. Jesus says that when you love people and you're kind to people and you want to do something nice for people, do it for the right reason. Don't be like a giver of fake apples. That would not be good, okay? That's not good, especially if you're really hungry and thirsty for an apple. What you do is you give it to somebody who really wants an apple and could benefit. That means something good could happen from that apple. That's really good. Do you have your apple? All right, everyone have their apple? Everyone have their apple? Okay, let's fold our hands and let's talk to Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for showing real love. Not pretend love like pretend apples, but real love. You really did come. You really did die. You really did come alive again. And that means all of the naughty things I've done are all gone. I get to go home to heaven because of what you did for me. Thank you so much. Now, help me to share that really neat love with other people, the real kind. Amen. Now, listen carefully. Normally, I tell you, you shouldn't do something like that with, it'd probably be a good idea not to eat this before church, before church is over. Because if these are really, truly, really juicy apples, what's going to happen when you bite into it? It'll screw it all over you. You don't want that. You're all wearing pretty dresses and stuff like that. Yeah, yeah. So why don't you wait till after church to do that? Thank you. You may go back to your seats. I'll leave this fake apple up here on the ground because that's for you. Here, you want to take it for it? How do you show love? How do you do that? It says, first of all, love must be sincere. I like that, and I also like the original word. The original word says, don't fake it. Don't have pretend love. Love can't be a pretend thing. And the word in the original leads you to think of an actor on stage who's displaying a great characteristic or a great character of history, or he's phony. He's an actor. He's on stage. It's not real. So that's the word that's used here. Don't do that. Love must be sincere, not like that. And I also like the English word sincere. One of the cool things about going through life and going on that pastor track is you learn all sorts of cool things about language. One of them is that words are put together with things that mean things. The word sincere comes from a really neat picture. If you ever want to know what the word sincere means, think of a clay pot. Go back to the time of the Greeks and the Romans. They're selling their clay pots, and you're a purveyor of clay pots. And you want to sell as many clay pots as you possibly can because you want to get all the big shekels into your pockets and out of your customers' pockets. So you're putting out all these things, and as you're really hurrying to put out all these things, one of the pots cracks. It's not broken, not a hole, just a crack. Oh, I don't want the crack. Oh, I got to sell that. Oh, how am I going to make it? If you are not very good guy, you would take some wax and you plug up that hole, and then you dust it off so it would not look like it's cracked. And then you'd sell it like everything else. And you come along and you buy it and say, oh, cool, I got this pot. And you take it home and you put water in it, and it would go out the crack. Why? Because it's not a clay pot, it's a clay pot with a crack. The wax is gone. How can you tell then if it's a clay pot is not cracked or not? They actually had a guy who went out there, and he would take clay pots and he would hold them up in the sun and he would inspect them. And he's holding them out in the sun, he'd turn around and he'd see, and if it's held up in the sun and it's a warm day like it is here, the wax would melt and he would see it and he'd say, this is a cracked pot. If there was no cracks in it, this guy would tip the pot off upside down and put down without wax, which is sinceros, which is how we get the word sincere. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's the real thing. It's a genuine pot, no cracks. He says, that's what love, real love, God's kind of love is. It's real. Jesus was a real person.
He really did live perfectly for us. He really did die for us. He really did come back to life for us. And he really is here today, somehow, some way, because he says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Wow. So he just spent 11 chapters talking about that love. So now we're gathered together. God has allowed us to gather together in this place, at this time in history, in this building, with me as your pastor. How are we to behave as a family of faith? You know, some of us politically are on one side. Others of us are politically on the other side. Some of us are older, just celebrating my birthday. Some of us are younger, wondering what to do with an apple when the devotion's over. Some of us like to go around in suits. Some of us like to go around in shorts. It doesn't matter. There's all these. How are we supposed to behave toward each other? Love must be sincere. And then he lists seven ways. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Hate. That's a strong English word. The Greek word is even stronger. The Greek word has, you hate it so much that it makes you want to throw up. It just makes you sick right down to your core. When I was on my uncle's farm, a lot of things happened on my uncle's farm. When I was on my uncle's farm, I came across my first dead animal. Now, I'm, you know, 8 or 9 years old, and coming across my first dead animal, and I'm seeing this carcass out there, and he said, well, it's dead. And so I said, ah, cool, I've never seen a dead animal. So I'm curious, so I go up, and if you ever run across a dead animal, you need to know, you stay back about 20 or 40 feet, because as you get closer to this animal, you smell rotting flesh. I just about wanted to throw up. I could not believe it. I thought that it stuck to my clothes. I kept on smelling it. It was, even right now, just the thought of that. That's the word that's used here. You hate something. It makes you want to throw up, and you're afraid that even getting close to it is going to stick to you. You just hate it. God says, hate what is evil. Whatever is in place of God or against God, you hate that. Because that's not good. God hates that. You be on God's side. You hate whatever is against God. You hate whatever is in place of God. Because God is God. First commandment. That's followed by the second one. Cling to what is good. I love that word too. Cling. Cling. That's the word that's used when you have a man and a woman and they join themselves in marriage. Remember way back in the Garden of Eden? A man shall leave his father and mother and cleave. That's that same word that's used. Cling. It means that you are very close, that you know the other person, that you get your joy and your comfort and your peace from being in harmony with that person. It's an intimate knowledge that you're choosing to share with another person. That's the word that's used here, which means if you cling to what is good, you know what good is, and you want it to be around it as much as you can. Good is not something that, oh, God's a killjoy. No, good is something that God wants, and so that's what I want. I want to cling to that. So hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Well, what else is in here? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Ah, there it is, brotherly love. You often hear me refer to us as a family of faith. That's because I have been trying to make sure that it is instilled in you and your children and your grandchildren and anybody else who's watching online that a family of faith has God as the Father and Jesus as our big brother. And we are brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters in my family, we're as different as can be. Brothers and sisters in this family, we're as different as can be. But you and I, by God's grace, have been adopted into God's family, and we have one Father. Perfect Heavenly Father, who chose us in him, brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, sent his Holy Spirit to be in us when we were baptized. Wow. Incredible love. He says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, meaning honor one another above yourselves. There is no limit to the amount of good that someone can do if they don't care who gets the credit. I saw that sign once as a high schooler, saw it again as a collegiate. That is so true. You can do so much good if you don't care who gets the credit. Honor one another above yourselves, the Lord says. Above yourselves. Don't care. You want the other person's joy. You want the other person to be successful. You want the other person to be honored. You want the other person up here. Love must be sincere. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Those three go together as a group. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. You hear this from me occasionally. I remember one time as a pastor at one of the congregations I was serving way back when, and it was on a confirmation day, and the children coming up who were becoming young adults, communicants, able to examine themselves and receive the Lord's own body and blood, they're coming forward, and they were really excited to make their vow publicly and let the congregation know that they were united with them in the confession of this faith in the living God. And as they're going into church, some old grown-up, cynical person said, well, that won't stay for long. You'll soon find out how the real world is. That is wrong. Keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor. How do you do that? Well, you're faithful in prayer and you're serving the Lord, which means that when you're going to work tomorrow, remember, God is your boss. He's placed your employer over you to bless you. So if God's your boss, how are you going to go to work tomorrow? Every time I come and preach God's word here, I remember I am just that little piece on the trumpet that gets full of spit that God blows through his word so that you can hear it. It's not about the little piece that the spit gets all in. It's about hearing that music of God's incredible joy, his mercy, his great love in Jesus Christ for us. So he says, do that. Keep your zeal, your godly zeal. Confident joy. He continues. We share with God's people who are in need. That's pretty obvious. Remember, this is talking about in the family of faith yet. This is just us, which means you and I have to be aware if there's a need, which means if you are in need, you have to make members of the family of faith aware of that need so they can do this. And then come two words. They're kind of like a hydrogen bomb. I'm telling you right now, if you and I were to practice these two words, you would see an incredible change all across America, starting right here in your own home and then in this church and way beyond. Two words. Practice hospitality. He doesn't say be hospitable. He says practice hospitality, which means you're making somebody else feel a member of your own house. When someone comes over to our house, my wife and I try to make them feel comfortable as if it's their house. When young people come over or children come over, they love that because they'll come downstairs and they'll go to our candy machine. Why? Because I want them to understand that our house is their house. That's called practicing hospitality, and the Lord does that as a command. Practice hospitality. Why? Because he wants to bless you Why? Because when you practice hospitality, you get these bonds of brotherly love even tighter. When there's trials, as there are, you're going to need those bonds. That's kind of cool, Pastor. We're kind of doing that already. We'll just do it a little bit more. Yeah, that's true. Do a little bit more. Now God says, but it's not just about my family of faith taking care of each other. It's about family outside of these walls. If you're watching on the internet, it's outside of your room that you're watching in. This is how you're supposed to treat people in the world. People who don't know who Jesus is. People who may or may not be Christian. You don't know. Bless those who persecute you. Bless. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud. Be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everybody. And if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath. It's written, it's mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you'll heap burning coals on his head. And it's best summarized by the very last thing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. How do you do that? Remember who you're serving. Remember whose family God in his incredible mercy has brought you into. And then when wicked people treat you wickedly, remember that they did the same thing to Jesus. And that's how come the Apostle Paul says, hey, if they're treating you like Jesus, hint, hint, you are like Jesus. Hint, hint, God is working through you. They can see that. That's a wonderful cause of joy and praise to God. And so we're not discouraged. We're encouraged because God, for Jesus' sake, is working through us. And people can see that. How neat. Do not be overcome by evil. Oh, it's out there. The Apostle Paul was writing this to Christians who were in Rome. Rome was led by a head pagan by the name of Caesar. This anti-God person had a whole bunch of other gods that he wanted in place of the real God. In just a few years, they'd be butchering Christians, just like ISIS is doing today. They'd be feeding them to lions so they wouldn't die as quickly as they would today when they cut off their heads or they burn them alive. No, they want them mauled by lions in the theater so that people could laugh at them as they died. Or they would crucify them. We're told of one guy who even tied them to poles and covered them with tar and lit them on fire so he could have some light at his party at night. The Apostle Paul was told that terrible times were coming. What were they supposed to do with that terrible culture in which they lived? They were supposed to go out and share God's love with them, a love that hates what's evil and clings to what is good, and that is how you overcome evil with good. In Jesus' name, my dear friends, a couple minutes, we're going to be receiving another member into God's family of faith here. A couple minutes after that, you're going to be singing a song and then having some prayers and you're going to be leaving. And a couple minutes after that, you'll be saying hello to each other and then kind of meandering into the other room for a 19-minute Bible study. And then sometime or other, you're going to leave this building where God has been blessing you and you're going to go out. Make sure you take that love with you. The Lord wants to bless you and wants to bless others for his sake. So let us live. Amen.